today I'm going to be talking to you about flirting, the fine art of flirting, as it were. And I have a lot of really interesting information. I've really researched the art of flirting for a long time because I think that it's one of the more important things we do with women, and it's really misunderstood. So it's my goal today to kind of explain to you what flirting is, break down the different ways we flirt, show you how to recognize flirting from women, and kind of go from there. So let's start off by defining what I think it means to flirt. Then I'm going to take you through some social science research from the SIRC, and you're going to be able to then learn a lot of stuff about flirting from my research, and then I'm going to break down my own kind of stuff I've found through interacting with women successfully and teaching guys. So let's start by defining flirting. And my definition of flirting is the act of playfully making a romantic or sexual overture or assumption when talking to a woman you're attracted to. Now, I know that's a mouthful, so let's break it down piece by piece. The first thing to learn is that flirting is playful. You can't flirt when you're being overly serious. You want to learn to think of flirting as playing a fun game. That way you won't take yourself or any girl's reaction too seriously. Now, the second part of my definition of flirting involves making a romantic or sexual overture or advance towards a woman you're attracted to. That means you're going to have to let the woman know you're interested in her. And this is where most guys screw up royally. The first mistake guys make happens when they learn how to be playful, but they never let the girl know they're hitting on her. If you want to hook up with a girl, you're going to have to let her know you're attracted to her and you're trying to get in her pants at some point. A lot of guys don't do this, and so they end up in the friend zone. The second mistake guys make when it comes to flirting is that they convey their interest towards the girl in the wrong way. Either they get really needy and tell the girl how much they like her and want to be their girlfriend before they even kissed her, or they express their sexual interest too early. They think as soon as the girl's interested in them at all, it's time to start getting sexual, and they don't understand that women get aroused more slowly and need a little more prep time, you know? You've probably heard the analogy that when it comes to sex, men are like light switches while women are like dimmer knobs. It just takes girls a little bit longer, even when they're sexually attractive, because of the way their kind of system works. So we're going to talk about the most effective ways to flirt in this audio. But before we do, I want to just go over some of the research I've found about flirting. So according to anthropological studies, flirting is found in some form in all cultures and societies around the world. It's something that we can't help but do. It's a basic instinct, part of human nature. That makes sense because, obviously, if we didn't have a way to kind of initiate contact and express interest in the opposite sex, we wouldn't be able to continue reproducing. Some evolutionary psychologists even believe that flirting is the foundation of civilization. They argue that the large human brain is kind of the equivalent of the peacock's tail in that it's a way to court that's evolved to attract and retain sexual partners. So there are some people who believe that everything, I think even Freud, I believed everything achievements were a side effect of learning how to get laid, how to get it in. So flirting is governed by a complex set of unwritten laws. That's what they've discovered. And we only really become aware of the rules when someone breaks them. So by flirting with the wrong person, someone who has a boyfriend, or, you know, at the wrong time, at the wrong place, all kind of cause problems. But these rules can be very confusing. That's why we need dating coaches like myself. You know, the research even indicates that men find it particularly difficult to interpret the subtle cues in women's body language and tend to mistake friendliness for sexual interest. This is called the male sexual bias. Basically, a lot of times guys can't tell the difference between what I call polite response when I'm teaching and girls being DTF, down to fuck. Basically, it's really important that you understand that there are these kind of unwritten rules. There are things like not getting too close, not kind of making people uncomfortable, not boring people, etc., etc. There's a couple of things that you want to kind of look for in flirting according to the research. So basically what happens is most people, especially guys, focus on the verbal, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss how to chat girls up, but when you first meet people, the nonverbal signals are going to tell you a lot as well, and we're going to get to that too. But it's important to understand why we flirt before we get into the kind of nuts and bolts of everything. When you're talking to a girl, especially if you do day game, especially if you're doing approaches in places where there's more of a social vibe, you're going to meet people, especially if you live in the Midwest in the US or in more friendly areas in Europe, you're going to meet women who are nice and who basically will give you what I mentioned earlier as polite response, meaning they'll answer your questions, they'll talk to you, and then anytime you try to advance the conversation, they will kind of shut you down. So flirting is the most gentle, most social, pro-social, as opposed to antisocial, way to kind of figure out whether women are interested or not. A good way to think of flirting is, in addition to that big, long, wordy definition I gave you earlier, is to think of it as a way of testing. We're testing to see how much does this girl like me. And that concept is key for all flirting. When you're flirting, if the girls aren't flirting back, you're not doing anything wrong necessarily. I mean, obviously, if you're breaking some of the rules and stuff we're going to discuss later, then you have some problems. But basically, if you are sticking to the stuff we're talking about and you're not doing anything weird, creepy, boring, obnoxious, antisocial, etc., then you're still going to have some percentage of women who are maybe even going to flirt back, but they're not going to be interested. So that's why I make sure that flirting is all about expressing that interest, because we're not just kind of having fun. You know, there's flirting for fun, which sometimes you do with, you know, maybe your mom's friends or friends' girlfriends or sisters, you know, people who are off limits, but it's fun and just communication. But I'm talking about flirting for getting laid. So that's the big difference, is you got to have some intent behind your flirting. It's important that you make sure that you kind of let girls know that you're interested in them in something more. All right, so let's talk a little now about nonverbal and verbal flirting. Nonverbal flirting is interesting because body language can be used to signal invitation, acceptance, refusal, without being obvious or really offending people. It's important to understand that nonverbal signals are not a holy grail, but they do tend to be more trustworthy than verbal things. When it comes to things, especially touching, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, it's really, really important that you kind of understand that these are all just kind of signals. None of them mean 100% you're in. It's just kind of a gathering of data that basically will eventually let you know whether or not the girl is interested. If the girl gives you enough signals that she's interested and you keep moving things forward, you can kind of get past this flirting into actual deep conversations and physical and emotional connections. We're going to start by talking about the nonverbal, because the nonverbal is the easiest stuff to do when it comes to flirting. It's also the most clear. So let's start by just discussing what the basic tenets of nonverbal communication should be. And there's three of them. And then we'll talk about what goes into each one of them, and we'll zoom in a little bit more on each area of nonverbal communication. So when it comes to nonverbal flirting, the overall message we're trying to send is that we are open, interested, and confident. So those are our three things. So let's talk about this. This originally came from the show 30 Rock, where the character Jack Donaghy, who's like this really awesome executive who's great at everything, is giving Liz Lemon, who's, you know, not good at anything, especially love advice. And he said something like, "The reason I succeed in love, Lemon, and you fail is because I'm open, positive, and confident." And from then on, I thought about that, and I really did think that that made a lot of sense. You know, if you're going to be successful with women, you need to be open, positive, and confident. And I thought about that in terms of body language, and I kind of couldn't ever think of what positive body language was. Like, open body language, confident body language, all of that, that made sense. Relaxed body language, that all made sense to me, but positive never did. And then once I started really focusing on flirting and screening women, because I don't really approach women so much now as I screen. And what I mean is, when I start talking to women, I'm not so concerned with winning over any one woman. I'm looking to screen women for the kind of qualities I'm looking for: sexual openness, adventurousness, sense of humor, fun, flirty, playful, not taking themselves too seriously. And because of that, I can convey a lot of interest without coming off needy, because everything else is saying, "I'm screening you." We want to kind of be open, interested, and confident. And we'll talk about what that means right now. So when we're talking about being open, I mean, not crossing your arms. This is a bad habit. It's something I have to watch out for on a regular basis because I tend to just cross my arms when I'm comfortable or I get cold. My business partner does it as well, and he does it all the time, and it looks very upset. But so you don't want to do that. You don't want to do anything that closes you up. You want to take up a comfortable amount of space. When I think about open, I think about taking up a comfortable amount of space. I think about not stretching all out like an exaggerated caricature of an alpha male, your feet 5 feet apart, doing your best to make sure that you take up as much space and are as kind of big and open as possible, but not also closed up, you know, not shirking, not shrinking to kind of not be seen, being open, relaxed, calm, you know, letting people in, not putting up barriers physically between people, having, you know, open space where if people want to be close to you, they can. Confident. Confident to me is really about relaxation. Confident body language is relaxed body language. And if your shoulders are up and hunched, that's not going to look confident. If your face is furrowed and twitchy and looking all scrunched up, that's not going to look relaxed. When it comes to confidence, we want to just look relaxed, comfortable in our own skin, no nervous movements, very as still as possible. The person who moves least looks the most confident. It looks like everything they do is purposeful. Purposeful movement is confident, you know, planning things out before you do them, being very conscious of the way you move, walk, etc. And interested. What does it mean to be interested? It means being focused on the girl, keeping eye contact, not having your eyes dart all over the room looking for hotter girls, looking to see who's looking at you. Lining up. I like to think of the center line of kind of my, in a classy way to say this, but I like to kind of think of the center line of like getting my dick like lined up with like her pussy. Like, so I'm always kind of thinking of how I would like physically line that up so that anytime we're talking, we're kind of lined up and I have that focus that we're like, she's like right in my physical space. The use of physical space, getting close, getting into her personal space in addition to kind of pulling her into yours. All that stuff sends the signal that you're interested. So those are kind of the big themes: open, confident, interested. So now let's kind of look in minutia at the 5 things that make up nonverbal communication. So the 5 things are, number 1, voice tone, the way you speak. And when I'm talking about voice tone, I'm also talking about the way that you pause, the way that you use your words, the way that you keep people invested, etc., etc. So let's kind of touch on that in a minute. The next thing is eye contact. Eye contact is another part of nonverbal flirting. The way you use eye contact can really send a lot of messages about what you're thinking towards the girl. Touching. Touching is a big thing, big part of flirting, but we're going to talk about using touch in a different way, using touch to screen and using touch to kind of figure out how interested the girl is. So kind of a little different than you've probably heard touch talked about before. Use of space. Use of space is another big part of nonverbal flirting. How you use interpersonal distance and how you manage that is very, very important. All right, so let's zoom in a little bit more on each of these, starting with smiles and facial expressions in general. So if you've listened to my stuff before, you've probably heard me mention Dr. Paul Ekman, who did a ton of research, possibly Pulitzer Prize winning, on facial expressions all across the world. And he found that everyone across the world has the basic range of emotions that are 7. There's 7 basic emotions. So he realized that in facial expressions, these are conveyed across the world. So an ability to read and interpret facial expressions is really kind of important to flirting, and it's important to know what facial expression you're giving. So when it comes to facial expressions, you want to start with a smile. This is really important because smiling just makes you look friendlier. It triggers what's known as mirror neurons, which make the other person want to experience what you're experiencing. It makes you look open. It makes you look non-threatening. It makes you look fun. So whenever you're approaching a woman or whenever you start to try to flirt, you should plaster a smile on your face. One of the cool things about smiling is that it actually biofeedbacks. If you're in a bad mood, and I do this all the time. I actually just did this last night when I was going on a date. I was walking to the date and I was really not feeling it. And so I just forced myself to smile for a couple of blocks and I probably looked like a fucking lunatic, a joker. But by the time I got to the date, I was in a much better mood and I was able to move that date towards sex easily. Another thing you can do is what's called the eyebrow flash. This is actually something that came from the SIRC. This is something you can do across a room. One of the ways we can use facial expressions for flirting is with girls who are across the room. If you catch eye contact, and we'll talk about using that in a second, you can smile. If the girl smiles back, you can assume it's safe to approach her. Another thing you can do is the eyebrow flash. This is where you are going to basically raise your eyebrows at a girl twice, very briefly, about a sixth of a second. It's a long distance kind of greeting. So assuming the girl finds you attractive, an eyebrow flash could leap into instant intimacy. If she's attracted to you, it may be evident in facial expressions as well. But the problem is that though facial expressions express natural feeling, there can be facial deceit, meaning girls can smile when they're not into you and they can frown when they are into you. So it's important to kind of understand facial expressions and look for the differences. So for smiles, there are four ways of telling the difference. First is real smiles produce wrinkles around the eyes. So no matter how young the girl is, if she's forcing a smile, her eyes are not going to be in the smile. Secondly, forced smiles tend to be asymmetrical, which they're stronger on the left for right-handed people and the right for left-handed people, or that might be opposite. The third clue is the timing. Planned smiles occur when they're not appropriate, and they tend to be held longer. So it's important to understand that an expressive face might indicate interest, but it might also naturally differ. Some people are just more expressive, especially girls here in Los Angeles who are actresses, stuff like that. So it's important to understand that while smiling and positive facial expressions are a good sign, they sometimes are just signs of polite response. All right, so that's kind of smiling and facial expressions. If you want more advice on that, I highly recommend you pick up Dr. Paul Ekman's book, Unmasking the Face, or you check out his online courses, which are like $40 or $50, and actually take you through step-by-step how to identify facial expressions in real time, and you can do them till you get them right, and it's really helpful. Let's talk about eye contact now. Eyes are the windows to the soul, and they're a really powerful way of flirting. How you look at another person can make a difference between flirtation and bad interactions. Looking into people's eyes, especially for long periods of time, is a very intimate, emotionally loaded act. In fact, in studies, they've found that people who stare into each other's eyes for 3 minutes or more report feelings of love or hatred, intense emotions. So eye contact is really the best way to non-verbally flirt. If you make eye contact with a woman and she holds it and you smile and she smiles, or she holds your gaze for more than a second, then the chances are she's probably interested. If she looks away and then looks back, you can assume she's interested. And again, if she smiles, if the girl avoids eye contact or looks away right away and doesn't look back, you probably just assume that she's not interested. Now, there is the possibility that she's shy or she didn't even notice you and she was looking at something around you. So you still should approach. One of the things with eye contact is that guys, especially when they first get started, I tend to recommend they don't look for eye contact right away, because guys tend to get addicted to eye contact and to warming their approaches, to figuring out if the girl's, you know, sort of interested before they walk over. And while that's good for screening, and once you get good at same night lays and you get good at escalating quickly, then it's really good because you can figure out which girls are down without talking to them. In the beginning, you want to get used to approaching all girls, and you don't want to just approach the girls who might be interested in you. But that also doesn't mean you shouldn't ever use it. You know, you just don't want to become reliant on it. You want to learn to recognize that, but you also don't want to basically only approach girls who give you eye contact. All right, so once you've approached the girl, you still need to make eye contact. You generally don't want to start talking until you have eye contact. Once the conversation starts, it's normal for eye contact to break and start. The person who's speaking generally is going to look away more than the person who's listening, and turn-taking generally is governed by a pattern of looking away, eye contact, and looking away. Basically, for those who really don't want to break this down into analytics, to signal you finish speaking and ask for a response, you want to look back at the girl again. To show interest while the girl's talking, you want to look at her face about 3/4 of the time, in glances lasting between 1 and 7 seconds. Now, the person speaking is normally going to look at you for less than half this time, and direct eye contact will be intermittent and dispersed, rarely lasting more than 1 second. When the girl's finished speaking and expects a response, she'll look at you and make brief eye contact, again, to indicate that it's your turn. So, again, the basic rules for pleasant conversation eye contact are glance at the person's face more when you're listening, look away more when you're speaking, and make brief eye contact to indicate that you want her to talk. Glance and brief. Don't stare like a serial killer. Basically, the biggest mistake they found people make, especially men, is overdoing eye contact to increase intimacy, which only makes the other person uncomfortable and may lead to the girl getting creeped out. Also, a lot of men in studies were talking to girls' boobs rather than looking at their faces, and that's not a good idea as well. All right, let's talk about use of space, interpersonal distance. The distance you keep is a big gauge of the interaction. When you first approach a girl, you want to make contact at what I like to call the social space. And social space is between, know, 36 and 48 inches, between 3 and 4 feet, about 2 small steps away on the borderline of social space and personal space, right? So all these things are defined. I didn't come up with these definitions. Social space is about 4 to 12 feet. Personal zone is 18 inches to 4 feet. What we want to do is when we approach, we want to be no more than 4 feet away, about an arm's length. Then we want to kind of get a little closer. We want to do this by cutting in. And we want to do this by leading with our hips, not leading with our shoulders and kind of barreling forward so the girl feels like we're creeping her out. And if we can get into the personal space, 18 to 26, 36 inches, then we now want to kind of move into intimate space. And that's less than 18 inches. Eventually, we want to get into intimate space because that's reserved for people she's close with, lovers, etc. And so that's really, really important. Now, you may have heard about approaching over the shoulder from old school mystery method or, you know, more kind of old school PUA guys. And that's really true for in crowded places. If you're alongside the person at a bar, at a club, somewhere where you're just standing around side to side, you can get closer because you have the distance of being over your shoulder as opposed to being right in the girl's face. If you ever kind of mess this interpersonal distance stuff up or the spacing, you can always take a step back. What'll happen is the girl will kind of get a little uncomfortable, maybe looking away, turning away, crossing her arms, rubbing her neck with the elbow pointed at you, things that kind of tell you to back off. So then you can take a step back, don't even mention it, and just keep talking. Act like it never happened. That's kind of how we deal with use of space, but we always want to be getting closer, moving in and out, in and out, in and out. All right, let's talk now about voice tone, and then we'll talk about touching briefly, and then we'll move on to verbal flirting. So when it comes to voice tone, we want to speak slowly, clearly, and deeply. And we want to have inflection in our voice. We want our voice to go up and down, meaning we don't want to talk just like this, like a robot all the time, exactly the same with no inflection or emotion. We want to go up and down and up and down and verbal. And it's almost like a song, like you're going, hey, how's it going today? Generally, your voice is going to go up in different places and down in different places. So if I'm just saying something like, the weather is nice today, my voice should stay pretty flat. That's a statement. If I'm asking a question, my voice should go up a little. Is the weather nice today? My voice goes up. Is the weather nice today? If I'm giving a command, then my voice is going to go down. Tell me the weather is nice today, and it'll drop a little more commanding. You want to have a deep, resonant voice. That's much more sexy, much more attractive. There's studies that is one of the factors in attraction. Unfortunately, I don't have the best deep voice. I sometimes sound gay, especially in loud nightclubs and bars where I have to kind of try to cut over music, but ideally I'd like to sound like this. You want to speak slowly. That's a big part of this. I've never met someone who I was like, whoa, bro, you got to speak faster. You just talk too slow. Same thing with loud. Never had a student where I was like, man, you gotta tone that down. So the general rule for slow is to take how fast you speak. Like normally I speak about this speed and that's really fast, right? This is slowed down to about 50%. Now I want to take this and slow this down an additional 50%. And that is going to be how I talk to women. So it takes a lot of effort for me to do that. I'm not going to have perfect verbal delivery on every audio just because it would take too much concentration. I'd lose my place and it's just too many balls juggling in the air when I'm trying to teach stuff. So this is one of those do as I say, not as I do. Though when I talk to women, I do make a conscious effort to work on my speaking voice and tone. Touching. Touching is important in flirting because touching is the real test. Everything else, we'll talk about some verbal tests in a little bit, and there are things that are very consistent, but there's also verbal, and verbal can lie. Verbal girls can be really into you, and so verbally they'll go along with a lot of stuff, but like physically they still have their limits where they're like not sexually open. So they could be attracted to you, but not sexually open, which is not a great combination unless you're looking to date a lot of girls, go on a lot of dates, and pay for a lot of dates and not get laid that often, which is not that cool of a place to be as someone who went through that. It's important to use touch to screen. We're using touch to screen the girl, to let her know we're interested, we're down to fuck, DTF, and we're looking for girls who are interested as well. So when I start talking to girls, I'm going to do little things to test their touching. So for example, when I shake a girl's hand, I'm going to hold that an uncomfortably long amount of time just to see how she reacts to it. If she immediately pulls her hand back, no good. If she lets me hold it, maybe I'm going to like pull her closer to me, or I'm going to like spin her around. I'm going to grab the girl on the arm and go, wow, you're in good shape. You could be my bodyguard. And I'm going to squeeze her arm and kind of try to pull her close to me and see if she takes a step back or if she takes a step closer. I'm going to pull a girl into me and see if she comes in easily and smoothly or if she's kind of tense. I'm going to try to touch her hair and see if she lets me touch her hair. If she lets me touch her hair, brush it out of her face, she'll probably let me kiss her. Stuff like that. Obviously, I could do a whole audio and have on touching, especially on touching as screening, because there's a million different ways to use touch touched a screen. But in the sake of time and to get to some of the verbal flirting, I want to kind of move forward and instead switch gears a little and start talking about the verbal application of flirting, which is very different than the physical application. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to flirt verbally. So when you're flirting verbally, what we're doing is we're basically going to be working on exchanging the fact that we're interested in her for laughs. We want to get her laughing while at the same time getting her to know we're interested in having sex with her. Now, you don't have to say I'm trying to fuck you. You don't have to like say I'm trying to get in your pants, but you do need to convey that idea. And that is sometimes difficult for guys. And that's why guys end up in the friend zone, or they end up going on dates with girls who then think that they're not really their type, or they end up going on dates with girls who aren't even sure they're on dates. They think they're just hanging out or getting career advice or something. And all of those things are not very helpful for the average guy. So it's important that we avoid that stuff by letting the girl know verbally, hey, I'm into you. I'm interested in you as a guy is interested in a girl, and I'm not going to be too needy or pushy about it, right? Basically, there are a bunch of ways guys mess up when flirting. I talked about two of them early on, where I talked about how guys don't signal interest, or they signal interest in too needy or too sexual of a way. We want to avoid those pitfalls. We don't want to get too sexual too early until we're getting something back. Once the girl's flirting with us, we can get real sexual, and I do. I mean, I will start talking about big dicks and dry pussies, but we don't want to do that too early on because we don't want to scare the girl off or make her feel like she has to make a yes or no sexual decision at any point, right? That's the problem with being too direct, is that, sure, there are going to be some girls who immediately want to have sex with you, but it's going to be, you know, less than fucking 10%, probably less than 1%. You know, they've done studies at Florida State University where they had an attractive Confederate approach women and men and ask if they wanted to go on a date to go back to their apartment and to have sex. And 0% of women agreed to sex, and like 1% of women agreed to the apartment, but 50% agreed to dates. So there's a big drop off with being directly sexual with women. It's just a fact. It's been proven over and over again. So we want to kind of disguise our sexuality and disguise our interest in verbal banter and playful flirting things. And the six ways that I like to verbally flirt and that I like to teach guys to flirt are teasing. You've probably heard of teasing by now. I'm not going to waste your time by going over too much of it. I'm just going to kind of give some examples and kind of rehash why it's important for flirting. Same thing. Fun, emotional communication. One thing you're going to see about flirting is that flirting is emotional. Flirting is not logical. Flirting is not one of those things where everything you say has to make sense or even kind of be rational. You know, you can just sometimes say gibberish and the flirting message will get across. So role plays are a part of that. They're just pure emotional communication. Statements of intent. Statements of intent are fun, flirty ways to let the girl know you have something you're trying to do with her. Let her know what to expect. Prep her. Relationship ladders. These are a great way to use the psychological principle of commitment and consistency to engage a girl in a fun, playful way, but also have that move things forward and get a level of commitment and consistency that will move the interaction forward. Challenging. Playfully challenging girls is very flirty. It's fun. You can have this whole kind of play fight attitude, and I'll talk about that. And compliments. Compliments are really important for flirting. Women need air, water, and compliments, as Chris Rock once famously said, and I truly believe that. So we're going to need to kind of give compliments as well, and I'll talk about how and why to do that. So let's start by talking about teasing, because I just want to briefly cover this. I know this is probably the most talked about subject in pickup and dating advice. So teasing, for those who haven't heard me talk about this before, or even have and just need a quick refresher, is the art of saying something that on the surface level of the communication is slightly rude or mean, but really means I like you. That's the whole point of flirting. Flirting is about telling the girl you like her without being needy, overly pushy, desperate, or aggressive. And teasing is a great way to do that because you're saying one thing, but it really means I like you. When it comes to teasing in flirting, we want to stick to kind of three different types of teases that are very, very basic. You don't need to do sexual teasing. You don't need to do any kind of advanced psychological teasing like pushbacks or stuff like that. You want to just kind of use general teases, push-pulls, and barriers. Those are the best ways to get the right kind of mental attitude behind the teasing into what you're saying. So general teases are things like, you're such a dork. Oh my God, you're a nerd. You're such a brat. You're a pain in the ass. Just general teasing things that you would say to someone, like a niece, a nephew, a younger brother, stuff like that. Even a friend. Nothing crazy. Just very simple non sequitur teases. They don't need to make sense. They don't need to be based on something she did. Just throw them out there. Push-pulls are another great way to flirt, because push-pulls send mixed signals, and mixed signals is very flirtatious because you're saying I like you, but you're also saying I don't like you. So some of my favorite push-pulls are things like, you are adorable, I hate you, you have to stop being cute, I don't like it, you are either the coolest girl I've ever met or a complete weirdo, and I'm not sure yet, I can't tell if I want to hug you or fight you. These are all things that I say to women on a regular basis. They're very easy, just a push and a pull. The push is the tease, the pull is a flirty compliment. Barriers. Barriers amplify attraction. This goes all the way back to Romeo and Juliet. It's the sign of any great love story when there's two people who want to be together and there's a barrier to them getting together. You know, they are somehow kept apart by something. Their family's feuding, the Revolutionary War, whatever. But barriers are great because they allow you to escalate while making the woman feel safe. So I could say, you know, it's too bad you're not my type. I only like 300-pound black women. Like Oprah, if she gained a little weight, she'd be fucking hot. Or it would never work out between us because you and me are like basically the same person and we would just have like bloody power struggles for domination all the time. We would end up like booby trapping our each other's houses and it would end with like ambulances in jail. Well, you know what? I can already tell me and you are not going to get along because we're going to always fight for attention. You totally like attention, so do I, and I'm gonna always be trying to one-up you, and you're gonna always be one-upping me. It's no good. I'm just barriers. Easy. All right, let's move on to role plays. Role plays are emotional stimulation. Now, when you're flirting, you want to stay away from group role plays. Back in the day when I used to be very into the pickup stuff and kind of just taking things on face value, there were a lot of group role plays. Guys would say, what you gotta do is you gotta walk up to a group and say, you know what I'm gonna do with you guys? I'm gonna put you in like an angel suit and you in a devil suit and walk you down the street, or you're gonna be my space princess, or this, that, or the other. And that stuff's not bad. I'm not here to talk shit on it and say that doesn't work. That's really kind of entertaining Mr. Funny Man stuff. And that's cool. I mean, there is a time and a place to entertain. There is a value in entertaining. There is validation to it. There is access to groups when you entertain them. But it doesn't actually flirt with women. You're just kind of entertaining when you're doing it with everyone. But if you zoom in and you focus on one specific girl and you make them kind of more ambiguously sexual, then role-playing takes on a whole new, different, and more powerful meaning. So what I like to do with role-plays is I like to make them one-on-one. So I go, you know what? I'm going to hire you as my new personal secretary. Your job is going to be to set up all my appointments, my dates, my business lunches, my golf dates in space with P. Diddy and Russell Simmons, all of that stuff. You're in charge of it. And, you know, it doesn't really pay much, but the benefits are you get to hang out with me and I'll give you a treasure map at the end of 2 years. So you got that going for you too. And I'll just make it, like, they're fun, they're playful, but then I'm going to throw in some sexuality. I'm going to say, plus, you know, I'll get to dress you up in little like outfits. That's always something I'm into. So something to keep in mind, as always, is that idea of sexuality in these role plays, you know, so shopping buddy, screener for dates, captain of your fan club, that kind of stuff that's one-on-one, or, you know, things like the romantic date where you say you're going to take her on a romantic date to Sizzler or the Red Lobster. That kind of stuff is better for role-playing and flirting than it is for kind of group entertainment, and there is a difference between the two use of role plays. Moving on, statements of intent. Statements of intent are near and dear to my heart, and they're basically exactly what they say they are, but if that doesn't make sense to you, what you're thinking, why would I state my intent? What is my intent? My intent is to fuck chicks. I'm not going to tell her I want to fuck, right? Unless I'm going to be alpha, then I'm going to tell her I want to fuck. Statements of intent are what I like to call preppers. Basically what happens, and this brings up the idea of commitment and consistency, which we will be talking about in depth in our next tool, which is relationship ladders. So let's talk about commitment and consistency. Human beings are consistent creatures. We are not rational. We are rationalizers, as George Bernard Shaw, I think, said. I might be wrong on who said that, but someone said that and they were fucking right. We're not rational. We're rationalizers. We're always going to use reasons to rationalize why we did what we did because we make emotional choices. So because of that, human beings are going to be consistent to anything they commit to, not because we necessarily believe it, but because we committed. Because, hey, I made that decision 5 minutes ago, and I'm a consistent person, So it must have been the right decision. And that's kind of how that goes. So we want to get people to commit to things, because once they commit, then they're going to be consistent with that commitment later on down the line. So statements of intent are good because we want to prep the girl for future escalation. We want to get her agreeing to being escalated on later. And we can do this through kind of progressive statements of intent. So I might say, you know, I mean that even though I'm hitting on you, or I mean that even though I want to take you out, or I mean that even though I'm attracted to you, or, you know, I'm totally flirting with you. Just stating my intent in a romantic nature in order to let her know what to expect over the next little bit. And that's a big part of statements of intent, because once a girl commits to that, if I say I'm hitting on you and the girl goes, okay, well, at least you're honest, then as I hit on her more, she's going to go with it more. And she knows that I'm going to try to kiss her at some point. I'm going to try to get her back to my place. You know, things are moving in a straight line towards somewhere. So that's why statements of intent and relationship ladders work so well, because they get women committed early on and then use that commitment to move the interaction forward. So relationship ladders are like SOIs, but they're just commitments to little relationships. They're basically small commitments. So for example, I just met this girl, Cindy, last week, and we were talking about yoga, and she was into yoga. I do yoga on a regular basis. And I was like, cool, you're totally going to be my new yoga buddy. I'm like, we'll go, we'll check out different classes together. I always get these Groupons. It's like, I'll bring you, you know, my guest passes, stuff like that. She was like, down. Now, that wasn't an actual plan. That was just something I said 3-4 minutes in, because I saw she was wearing yoga pants and, you know, was walking around this yoga neighborhood. So, you know, 10 minutes go by, we're getting along, and I go, you know what, we really should go to yoga. I'm like, I'm going to go tomorrow at 7 o'clock to this class. What are you doing tomorrow? And she's like, okay, I get off work at like 5. So yeah, I can make that. I'm like, cool. That was our date. We went to yoga. But before I ended that conversation, I said, you know, I'm totally hitting on you. And she was like, that's okay. At least you're honest. And so we went to get coffee afterwards. And then I got her committed to kind of when we have sex. I was like, when we have sex, you know, it's going to melt the paint off the walls. And she laughed and she said, yeah, I could see that. And we ended up having sex, not that night, but the next time I saw her, because I had set up these relationship ladders. She now saw me as someone she could go to yoga with. She's made a specific plan. She was into the idea of me hitting on her. She was okay with the fact that I was expressing interest, that I wanted to kind of get in her pants, and et cetera, et cetera. So all of that led to an interaction where there wasn't any confusion or kind of strangeness, because I was trying to do one thing and she was expecting me to be trying to do another thing. So that's really, really important when it comes to hitting on girls, because you don't want to have confused intentions. You don't want her to think you're just some nice social guy while you're trying to get it in. Next form of verbal flirting is challenging. Challenging is really powerful. When it comes to flirting, play fighting is some of the best type of flirting. Getting a girl who will really kind of bust your balls back and give you shit and tease you back is really like the ultimate buying in of her flirting back. You know, when she's giving you that kind of energy, she's really investing in the interaction, and she's really showing you that she likes the way that you're communicating with her, and that that's the way she communicates as well. So we want to kind of provoke those little mini playful fights. You know, we don't want to do it by insulting girls, but there's definitely things you can do. So, for example, sometimes when girls say something, like say they'll qualify themselves, instead of qualifying to flirt, I'll go, really? I mean, like, really? You did that? I don't know. Is that true? And I'll just challenge them on things and kind of make them defend that. Or, you know, I'll challenge them to contest. I'll go, I could totally outdrink you. Don't try to drink with me. Or I think I could take you. I could out-wrestle you. I could pick you up. Or I'm way faster than you. I could totally beat you in a race. Just these little things that challenge the girl, that show her you're playful. You know, it's like when you were a little kid and you go, I bet I could be faster than you to that ladder. Fence is what I was thinking. But for some reason I said ladder. Probably because it says relationship ladders on the page in front of me on my notes. Another good way to challenge girls is go, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that is like a nice ambiguous challenge. And then the girl will kind of defend herself. She plays into it. And you kind of go back and forth. This is really the fastest way to flirt, because if a girl kind of can communicate with you on that level, everything else goes really smoothly, really easily, and really fun. So that's the idea of challenging. Last thing I want to talk about when it comes to verbal flirting, and we're going to kind of wrap this whole thing up, is compliments. How, when, why to compliment. So compliments, like I said, like Chris Rock said, actually, women need air, water, and compliments. Food, sort of, but really air, water, and compliments are the main objective for women. So we want to give compliments, but we want to give compliments the right way. We don't want to compliment the chump way, which is, oh my God, you're so beautiful, you're so hot, you're so great, I'm such a loser. Instead, we want to compliment women on their choices, and we want to compliment women on things about them that are non-physical, on their characteristics, their personality attributes. It's okay to tell women they're hot and pretty, but you should be more more specific than pretty. Also, some women can't take compliments about their looks, so in addition to it not being the right place of power, it's also something that makes some women feel insecure, and then you deal with a whole bunch of bullshit where they're like, no, I'm not hot, you have bad taste, blah, blah, blah. And that happens as well. So when I think of compliments, I think of them in terms of statements that let the girl know why I like you. Why I like you. I like you because one thing I like about you is, what's great about you is X. The cool thing about you is Y. That kind of stuff is easy. It's never goes out of style, and it shows you're paying attention. You know, I really like how independent you are. You have a great sense of humor. You really make me laugh. You are fun to be around. I like just hanging out with you. You are very fun. You are very smart. You have like a good sense for people. Things like that, as opposed to you're hot, great, have tits. All right, let's wrap this up. I'm getting sick of my own voice, so let's just briefly recap everything we went over in this very, very long audio. First, we went over what flirting is. By my definition, flirting is the art of playfully letting a woman know you're interested in her sexually, romantically, etc. It's important because it clears up confusion, it gets you out of that polite response zone, and it gives the woman a chance to flirt back. It starts as soon as you start talking to a woman, both verbally and non-verbally. When it comes to being non-verbal, we want to be open, interested, and confident. We also want to be aware of the five ways we can flirt non-verbally: voice tone, smile, touching, eye contact, use of space. We also want to flirt verbally. We want to do things to let the girl know we're interested sexually, interested romantically, but also we don't want to be overly aggressive, we don't want to be overly graphic, pushy, etc. And to do that, we use teasing, general teases, push-pulls, barriers, role plays like secretary, shopping buddy, romantic date, statements of intent, hitting on you, want to take you out, flirting with you, relationship ladders, you're gonna be my yoga friend, you're gonna come to yoga with me, I'm gonna hit on you when we have sex, challenging, really, what do you mean, compliments, and why I like you statements. So that's all you need to know about flirting. Now, what I want you to do after you listen to this audio is I want you to pick one nonverbal and one verbal way to flirt and focus on that through all of your interactions with women for the next month. Just one. If you get bored or if you really master it, then you can add another one. Or if you want to put on extra credit, you can do three in the next month. But don't do more than three because you're not really going to give them the proper time and dedication that you really need to master an element of verbal or nonverbal flirting. So pick one out of the five nonverbal, one out of the five out of the six verbal. Use that, focus on that, and come back here next month when I'll have a whole bunch of brand new content for you about meeting, attracting, and seducing beautiful women. I'm John Sin, saying take it easy.